Scroll through social media, and you will quickly find very strong opinions about the actions of ICE, and there's really no middle ground. Quite frankly, these voices are either very supportive or very against what ICE is doing. Now, those pro-ICE voices took a strange turn in the aftermath of the homicide of Alex Brody in order to justify ICE. The Second Amendment, more specifically, right to carry, came under attack by these voices. And these voices didn't just include American citizens, elected leaders from DA offices to Congress to even the White House. Joined in, my first guest today is with us to take a look at the impact implications of all this. He's a spokesperson with Gun Owners of America, author of the book, A Town Called Sutherland Springs, Faith and Heroism Through Tragedy, which presents the story of how he responded to a 2017 church shooting. Stephen Williford, how are you today, Stephen?
I am doing superb.
And two websites for you listening. We have them at our homepage as well. Learn more about Gun Owners of America, gunowners.org, and Stephen's website, thebarefootdefender.com. Let us go back. I'll start at the lower level and move up the ladder a bit. We had a federal prosecutor in Los Angeles say on his X account, if you approach law enforcement with a gun, there is a high likelihood they will be legally justified in shooting you. Don't do it. Want to go up the chain a little bit? We have Kash Patel, FBI director, claiming that carrying a firearm at a protest is illegal. You can't bring a firearm to any sort of protest. We had, Jeanine Pirro, D.C. DA, basically saying don't bring guns into Washington, D.C., and even President Trump's day of the protesters can't have guns, and criticized Alex Brody for carrying a very powerful, fully loaded gun, two magazines, of which Christy Noem said Preddy was brandishing. So as a gun proponent, you're hearing all this from people you think are your allies. What are you thinking then?
Well, first off, I think they're wrong. Your First Amendment is protected by your Second Amendment. Your right to peacefully protest. And now that's important. Peacefully protest.
Right.
I have been at protests before here in Texas. I have been with an AR-15 on my chest and a CZ-75 on my side. Open carry, both of them. Peaceful protest. Never blocked or tried to brandish, if you want, a firearm to a law enforcement officer, never tried to impede on what they were doing. And there's a very distinct difference, there. And did I have loaded spare magazines? The answer would be yes, I did. Your Second Amendment and your First Amendment work hand in hand. However, you do have to be peaceful. You cannot be threatening. You have to obey law enforcement instructions, and that's just life.
No, to be sure. And I think what people need to understand too, someone who's attained a right to carry permit, this isn't a gun happy person who got a gun off the street and is carrying around. You have to go through, especially here in New Jersey, for example, you need to have an actual threat against you before you can even be considered for a right to carry permit. And there are a few of the other states out of the 29 that allow right to carry that are at a similar level.
Are you in New Jersey?
Yes, we are.
I am really sorry because your Second Amendment does not apply to you, and I think we're fighting to straighten that out. Please go to gunowners.org and sign up, get in the fight. But yes, we're trying to straighten it out. New Jersey is one of the worst. Sorry. So in the state of Texas, we don't even need a permit. As a matter of fact, in the state of Texas, our state capitol, I walked on the Senate floor with a pistol on my side. That is the people's house. We own that capitol. And we have the right to carry in it. And you never hear of a violent issue that happens in our capital. Why? Because everybody that carries on the state capital is carrying because we respect our Second Amendment.
And we should add, too, because you mentioned how the First and Second Amendments are interconnected. Second Amendment is also boosted and further protected with the 14th Amendment.
Well, absolutely. All our so people don't understand our amendments or our Bill of Rights. And a Bill of Rights isn't the government granting us any rights. Instead, most people don't even understand this, but the Bill of Rights isn't the government granting rights. It is the government recognizing that these are God-given rights and restricts the government from impeding on God-given rights. The right for free speech, the right for freedom of religion, the right to gather and assemble. That's part of protest.
Absolutely.
Peaceful protesting. Now, peaceful protesting is what that means. And to address grievances against our government, that's all part of the First Amendment, is freedom of religion, freedom of speech, freedom of, you know. And then the Second Amendment protects the First Amendment and all the other amendments, which is called the Bill of Rights. These were understood as God-given rights. And they are not granting us anything. They are making sure the government can't impede on our Bill of Rights. Restricting the government, not granting us.
That was talking with Stephen Williford, spokesperson for Gun Owners of America, author of the book, A Town Called Sutherland Springs, Faith and Heroism Through Tragedy, gunowners.org, thebarefootdefender.com, and you're listening to Issues and Ideas. The whole idea for the Bill of Rights came about, too, Stephen, because the anti-federalists back at the Constitutional Convention saw that the Constitution that divvied up the government, the judicial, legislative, executive branch, that was going to be the beginning, the middle, the end. And they said, whoa, wait a minute. Now we got some more work to do here. And so came the Bill of Rights with the Second Amendment specifically crafted by James Madison. So, you know, thank God for the anti-federalists. Otherwise, we would have been starting this nation with a lot less than we needed to survive this long.
Boy, I'm really glad you brought up the Anti-Federalist Papers. So, schools don't teach it. And how do they not teach it? Because if we don't know where we came from and what the disagreements and the agreements were, with Federalists and Anti-Federalists didn't want a powerful federal government. They wanted each state to be its own autonomous, and the Federalist Papers wanted a stronger federal government. So there had to be a balance between the two. And essentially what they came up with was our Constitution. And the Constitution lays out very plainly the powers of the state and the powers of the federal government. And the powers of the federal government set up the parameters for the Bill of Rights, meaning the states all had to agree to the Bill of Rights, which is First Amendment, Second Amendment. All the states had to agree with that. And then if it wasn't encompassed in that, then essentially the state had the right to make its own rules about certain things. And that's why Roe versus Wade, when it went away, it didn't ban abortion altogether. It gave the states the right to decide whether abortion should happen or not, because the state needs to decide for itself all these other issues that is not encompassed in the Bill of Rights.
The basic rule of thumb for anyone who doesn't really study the Constitution, if it's not mentioned in the Constitution, it's not a federal right. It's up to the state, and abortion being a prime example of that, along with many other key issues that, unfortunately, this administration, even the one before it, were trying to capture and kidnap for the federal government when it's not it's not constitutionally right for a federal government to either take action away from the state or take action from one branch of the government into the other.
Now, the only true power the federal government has over the states, other than the Constitution, other than the Bill of Rights, is interstate commerce, meaning trade between the states. If I make a widget here in Texas, New Jersey said, oh, your widget should be illegal here, I can't just sell my widget in New Jersey because y'all have the right to decide whether my widget is legal or not, except for firearms, because that's part of the Bill of Rights. And when New Jersey passes a law, and I know you have this, where all hollow point ammunition is automatic 10 years in prison with no parole, that's illegal. And I truly believe it's illegal. I walk down the street with two extra magazines, holding 15 rounds apiece in my pocket, one in my pistol that holds 15 rounds, and one in the chamber that holds, you know, an extra round. So I never get out of prison in New Jersey. I mean, you guys need to go and sign up for Gun Owners of America, find out what your state really requires and what it does and how it's breaking the Constitution, and be part of the solution and start winning your state back. Because we're going to get national reciprocity passed, and when we get national reciprocity passed, then Texas will have to adhere to Texas law when it comes to firearms, and we will be restricted only by Texas law when we visit your state.
That happened once before here, too. Someone in Philadelphia was traveling into New Jersey. She had her weapon secured in her trunk, not even touching it, stopped at a gas station, and one thing led to another with an interaction with the police, and they searched, found the gun. She wound up going to prison. Then Governor Christie actually had to parole her because the reciprocity rule was non-existent. So she was a legal carrying, abided by every possible safety measure, and because of the lack of the laws that you're referring to, she still wound up in prison, albeit for a short time.
Well, we are fighting, Gun Owners of America are fighting for national reciprocity. And what it means is no matter where we travel in this country, all 50 states, we will have to adhere to the laws of the state in which we're from.
So if I go into New Jersey,
I can carry without a permit with a 32-round Glock magazine sticking out of my pistol, carrying open, and there's nothing that New Jersey could do about it.
And find out more about Gun Owners of America, this issue, along with all aspects of respectful, legal, responsible gun ownership. You find it at gunowners.org. And while you're doing your web surfing, thebarefootdefender.com is you can find out more about, we hear the phrase before, a good guy with a gun and what they can do. Well, that's Stephen's story with the 2017 shooting at a church. That's why the book is called A Town Called Sutherland Springs, Faith and Heroism Through Tragedy. Stephen, you bring the sanity to put down the political rhetoric, and that gets the person listening who needs the knowledge to the truth. So I thank you for doing that, for being here today.
Well, thank you very much. And just so your listening audience knows, I ran across the street, confronted a mass shooter, and took him out with my own rifle.
And you find out more in Stephen's book. Thanks again, Stephen.
Thank you, and God bless.